I know many of you listening to this program have been listening to this station for the last 50, 60, 70, maybe someone out there who's listened to this station for 100 years. That's why I'm so glad to have Neil Sammers and Tom O'Gorman in here to talk about their latest book, Memories of Growing Up in Chicago, Recalling Life During the 20th Century. It's also written with, who's Christopher Lynch, fellas? Nice to see you guys, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice to see you. Who's Christopher Lynch?
Christopher Lynch is someone who comes out of the airline industry. His family was at Midway, and Chris and I did the book about airline travel in Chicago. So he's...
Neil Sammers, who I've known for decades now, has done books about virtually everything. The first one, Neil, it had to be how many years ago?
2001.
2001. It was about Rogers Park.
And Westridge.
And you said, yeah, and I wrote about it for the Tribune. And you said, yeah, I think I'm going to, you know, start publishing books. How many now?
31.
This is the 31st.
Yes, it is.
How did you wrangle this talented man, Mr. O'Gorman, to collaborate with
you? Well, I met this talented man through an alderman named Ed Burke. Mm-hmm. And Mr. O'Gorman was the primary writer of the book End of Watch.
Which is an amazing book,
I think. It is.
Also, and they allowed me to publish it.
That's right. You published that book. That's right.
He did. You did a couple of others.
Did you not do the City Hall book that they did? You and Ed did a City Hall book, right?
We did the architecture of City Hall at 100.
Right.
We did that in 2009. But we did... That was it.
Ed wrote some other stuff, wrote some of my other books, but no, I that's as far as I went.
Well, this is my 15th.
Really?
Yes, of course. I'm a professional writer.
I've only written 10 books, and you're also a talented visual artist. Neil, how has this been? Let me ask you, the publishing business, you started in this thing when the publishing business literally went insane. And publishers were dying. People read everything on an iPad or their phones or something. Has it been a struggle? You've been able to do it?
No, because you know, realizing that instead of going to a publisher to do my books or having someone else do my books, I figured why not have my own publishing company to do the books, and then I can control it all.
That's right. You control the photos. You control the size. You control
everything.
The look of the book.
Right.
I did a book back in. It was the history of the Irish Fellowship of Chicago, and it was for the 100th anniversary 23 years ago. We were getting set to do the 125th version of it, adding to it about the Chicago Irish. But at the time, it was in many ways, it was 9/11. It was when it happened.
Yeah, sure.
I remember I was editing the book then. But it was excruciating to get the photographs and artwork. And I was doing it in a company that was going to print it and everything, and it was so difficult. And now, 25 years later, it is so different, and in many ways, it's way easier. Like even with Amazon, is amazing.
I want to be a salesman to a job at which I'm hopelessly inept, but. People go to Amazon.com,
and they print on demand, hardcover or softcover.
Memories of Growing Up in Chicago.
Yeah.
This book will, I've read the entire thing. Many of the people in here I have known, and still know. A few have passed. Neil and Tom, I see here Joe Minow, the late
Joe Minow,
who was married to the late Newton Minow.
Yeah, right.
How long did you do these? I'm in here. I'm in this book.
Yes, you were.
And I don't even remember when we sat down to talk. I swear to you. When was it? How long have you been doing the interviews that wound up in this book?
23 years.
Wow.
I saved up. Maybe I have 700-800 interviews now.
No.
Yes, a lot. So to pare it down to do this book was the challenge, of course, was did they grow up in Chicago? Because a lot of people moved here from elsewhere.
Yeah, sure.
But again, I have to give credit. Gary Johnson, former president emeritus of History Museum, wrote the intro, and it was wonderful. He's done four intros for me. And then Paul Meinke from ABC wrote the foreword. So I was able to bring these people together.
Yeah.
And then, again, the idea was to have people from all these different sections of Chicago, so the different neighborhoods and parishes and schools would be represented here.
Yeah.
Well, the one thing, you got a good one. There's only one person from the far south suburbs, but it's a good person. It's Tom Dreesen, who's going to be back performing at the Newberry Library with his pal, Tim Reed.
Right.
Some of these are just, when did you do Mead? Do you remember? When did we sit down?
Probably 20 years ago.
Oh, my God.
You know what I must say?
It's all a bunch of lies, then.
I have to say something to compliment Neil on this, and that is, you know, if I did it, everybody would have an O in front of their name, you know? That's the danger of it.
Of being too Irish, yeah.
Exactly. But it's such a great balance.
Oh, I think
and
it's...
And, I mean, I was thinking my favorite... I told Neil today that... I think of all the people in the book, Paul Meinke is one of the, he said it best, and he was talking about playing baseball and knocking the ball occasionally into this woman's yard, and she was an old biddy and blah, blah, blah. But he said her name was Mrs. Dunlap, and he said it's only in older age that he realized she was the eyes and ears of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That you were always safe because Mrs. Dunlap never took her eyes off of you. And that, in a sense, is this, the symbol of this book, I think. And that is that this was a Chicago post-World War II to the 60s, into the 60s, in which it was safe.
No question.
To be alive. It was safe to be
human. Yeah, there's something that, in reading the book, guys, it makes me incredibly wistful and more than a little bit sad.
Governor Thompson said he took his six-year-old brother downtown on the Madison streetcar.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Hey, we got to take a little break, but we're going to spend this entire hour with Neil Sammers, now up to 31 books. Tom O'Gorman, now up to 11, 12, 13, 14 books. And we'll tell you some of the people in here and have both of these gentlemen. They both also have lengthy and very good essays in here, so we'll be back. I know we live in a relatively wicked sort of city these days. That is why the book Memories of Growing Up in Chicago, Recalling Life During the 20th Century, will be an absolute revelation for, let's say, anybody under about 20 years old now. This will tell the kids who are not allowed to go downtown, for whom it's too dangerous to be out at night, what this town was. And those of us of a certain age, and Neil Sammers and Tom O'Gorman and I are of that certain age, it seems like a completely different planet, does it not?
Absolutely.
Anne Marie DeBono, who was interviewed for the book, she'd be the aunt of Joey and Joanne Tufano's. I wrote down something she said because it sort of drew the whole book together for me. She says, we never locked our doors.
Yeah, yeah.
And we slept with the windows open. What a world that is.
Yeah. You both write. Neil's looking, going to read something from his, and I'm going to read a little something from Tom's. There are these lovely, two of the longest pieces in the book are by Neil Sammers and Tom O'Gorman. Tom writes in here, he mostly writes about the women in his life, so to speak.
There were a lot of them.
Yep. he writes, their lives span an eternal age of hope. A virtue like the others of which they were never afraid. They understood the ancient ways and loyalties that go back beyond the Bronze Age. They were women of the horse and surprisingly liberal in the common sense that they espoused. They lived through wars and upheavals and stood unvanquished by the selfish foolishness of the world. They shaped families of warmth and hilarity that reflected their unbroken commitment to life larger than themselves. They are the eternal roadmap to finding what really matters in life. That's pretty well put, my friend.
Thank you.
Pretty well put.
I had two grandmothers, one that lived in the same house and one that lived three doors down. So they were always, you know, changing of the guards.
You bring up such things as, you know, there are very few people, I think, who remember Jack Gibbons.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, the memories that this book evokes are...
My grandmother O'Gorman concocted this plan in 1961 that we were going to sail to Ireland on the Queen Mary. We wound up going on the Sylvania, and it was an extraordinary experience. All my relatives were still alive. I met my grandparents' siblings, and they all started dying after that.
Wow.
But the point is that it gave me, through their eyes, an understanding of a big part of our lives.
Sure, sure. Neil, you want to read something from yours? I'd love to hear it.
My grammar school, which was first opened in the late 1800s as East School, was named for the poet-writer Eugene Field. Among my memories of the years from 1948 to 1957, there was the hard and fast rule established by either the Chicago Board of Education or the school's principal that boys could only enter the school building through doors located on the south side, while girls had to enter from the north side. We had a large gravel schoolyard, which was used every day for recess, with girls staying to the north and boys to the south, and an invisible line separating the two parts of the schoolyard. During recess, we play all sorts of games, including tag, contests using marbles, racing from the school building wall to the metal fence that surrounded the schoolyard, tossing a softball, or playing catch with a rubber ball, or just sitting and having conversations with friends. After school, we would also play softball there, and in Chicago, only clincher 16-inch softballs, never 12-inch like they play on the East Coast, were considered acceptable. And when those softballs were first taken out of their boxes, they were hard as a rock. That is why most of us who played that sport had our fingers permanently bent back and misshapen.
No question. No question. It's too bad Roykin wasn't alive to be part of this book. He would have had some stories and a half. How did you go about, fellas, selecting the people? Many of them are well-known, and that helps, I think, in the other people's ability to recognize these people. Well, Bob Surratt grew up this way, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
What was the criterion that you picked them? People you felt were interesting people articulate people?
Well, no, the answer is yes to that, but also the idea was to have a book that represented all sections of the city, suburbs, so that everyone could find the things in common, no matter when you were born and where you lived, and that's what I used as my criteria for the book.
All of these people had to be born in Chicago, yes?
Yes, yes. That because I had a lot of other interviews of people who weren't born, who I just in Chicago grew up. I wanted people who lived and grew up in Chicago.
I really felt, in many ways, after 20 years in City Hall.
Sure.
I mean, I saw 10 million people come through the doors of the finance office and interacted with them. But in many ways, when I look at it, it's like the perfect menu of Chicago's, you know.
The menu of memories.
Old Mayor Daley used to say, you know, Chicago is a city of neighborhoods, and it's not just one city, it's 50. And in a sense, you understand that when you see people like this. But I'm still fascinated, and I said this to Neil today, that The similarities for me personally that envelop the parochial school community and the Jewish educated community.
Sure.
That we are each other's lost tribe. That is the honest to God truth. And so much of our way of looking at the world and at family is the heart of all of this. Because you can go through here and everybody's doing the same stuff.
Yeah. The other theme my second book was entitled, it was the second Rogers Park book, but it was called Neighborhoods Within Neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, whichever neighborhood you lived, everyone had sections, literally streets, borders.
Sure.
You did not cross over.
Yeah.
Well, you know, in the old days, in the 50s, in this period, there were about 500 parishes in the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Yeah.
And when I look at it, especially the ones the Irish lived in, Those were little villages of the homeland. They recreated at 55th and Halsted.
No question.
And they went to the market. They did the butcher shop.
But the same thing you can see sort of the last room in Chinatown,
yes,
for instance. It's
same
kind of thing. You're holding on, and not so much anymore because you're holding on to places where you or your parents or your grandparents came from, and that gets kind of diluted. How hard was it, Tom O'Gorman and Neil Sammers, to get Hillary Rodham Clinton?
Well, it's a simple story. I had to go to my friend, Congresswoman Jan Schakowsky,
okay.
who went to high school with me, and I called her up and I said, can you help in terms of getting Hillary? Because Hillary grew up in Park Ridge, and I'd like to have her in one of my books. And so she called Washington. 6 months later, I got a phone call from one of Hillary's assistants saying, Neil, are you still interested in talking to the senator? I said, yeah. She said, give me 5 minutes. Okay, I'm ready. 5 minutes later, oh, Neil, I'm so sorry. She just came off the floor and she's got laryngitis, so we'll have to reschedule. 10 minutes later, the phone rings again.
It's Bill.
It's yeah. Hillary. No, yeah. I made certain I didn't even get involved with Bill.
Yeah, right.
But it's Hillary, and Hillary talked to me for a half an hour.
Wow.
About Park Ridge, Merchandise Mart, her father, Maine East, politics, and just was wonderful. And of course,
wow.
I never mentioned those other topics with her.
Yeah, right. How did you get Rob Feeder, the ever elusive, but nonetheless fascinating Rob Feeder?
Because Rob worked at the Sun-Times.
Yes, he did.
And with two other people, I did two books called I'm All About the Photos up from the Sun-Times. And
right.
I became good friends with Rob, and then he did the interview with me.
He's a good guy.
Yes.
See, in another way, this is a great book for you two guys to do because, you know, we all, as you said, we all have our own neighborhoods and we all had our own lives. But to expand it into hearing all of this.
The dilemma, the difficulty is sort of edited and limited.
Yeah.
For instance, I couldn't remember if. I know the stories. These people, like there was something that Neil, for instance, Neil Hartigan's father was the alderman of the 49th Ward.
Okay.
And when he died, original Mayor Daley said to Mrs. Hartigan, I'd like to make you the alderman. And she said, oh, Mr. Mayor, please don't be ridiculous. I could never be the alderman. But the point was, I couldn't remember. Did I read that here? Was it in another article? Was something somebody told? Because I know Neil well, and I realized that I couldn't remember where any of the data was coming from. So much data at the finance office,
yeah.
And it was overkill.
In that vein, Neil Hartigan became a good friend because he helped support the Rogers Park books.
Sure,
but even every time he talked to me, he said, "Mr. Sammers, you did not grow up in Rogers Park. You grew up in St. Jerome's Parish."
Gotcha. It is a marvelous book. We're going to spend the rest of this hour on it. Memories of growing up in Chicago, recalling life during the 20th century. Not all of the 20th century. Let's say that last half of the 20th century. You will listen to some news in about 20 seconds, and then I'll be back with Neil Sammers and Tom O'Gorman. We're going to talk to Tom O'Gorman for a little while about his... like real job, which is he writes what is called used to be called a gossip column, and he may be the last person on the world.
I'm the new Ann Gerber,
or the new Irv Cups in it too, or Mort Edelstein. There used to be a lot of these columns.
Yeah.
So please stay tuned. We'll be back.
Thanks.
I am back, clutching in my hands this fabulous book titled "Memories of Growing Up in Chicago: Recalling Life During the 20th Century." How many? 30 interviews. How many are in
about 55?
55 interviews. I'm a slow counter. Some are with very well-known people: Warner Saunders, Sheldon Patinkin, Georgianne Guyer's not that well-known, but Norman Mark, you may remember him. Gary Sinise is a famous movie star. Rich Samuels used to be on TV. Bruce Wolfe used to be on radio. Rob Feeder used to be in print. Tom Dreesen is still out and active and crazy. Bob Surratt still on this very, very station. Did you have to do much editing of these things, Neil and Tom?
I did to some degree.
Because the world has, in 20 years since you've been doing these things, the world's become a very, very politically correct, tiptoeing kind of thing.
Well, some had to be sanitized, I'll put it that way,
yeah.
Because of language that would have offended people if I had done it that way.
But right.
Again, I wanted to not only neighborhoods, but also religious variety, cultures, races. There's a lot of variety in this book of people that you may not know anything about. So
No question. You know, people, and it's also people who may have been forgotten in this. I love that Dempsey Travis is in there, but I'll bet if you walked down on Michigan Avenue and said, who's Dempsey Travis?
Yeah.
One out of ten might know. One out of ten might know. Tom, your day job, so to speak, is as a columnist for Skyline. It is among the favorite columns of my girl, Kathy Murray, and also of our mutual friend, Candace Jordan.
Yes, indeed.
Nuts
yes.
about Candace Jordan, the hardest working woman in journalism.
She's a great colleague. She really is. She's a
Talk
tops.
To me about this, because you work this column hard. It is born of what we used to call gossip columns, born of, you know, Walter Winchell in New York, Irv Kupson here, a lot of people here, John and Abe Anderson, Mort Edelstein.
Of course.
A lot of people here.
Well, two things, just to say, first of all, I've been doing it for 8 years.
Okay.
And Ann Gerber was in ill health when she came onto it, and my entree into it with the publisher Ron Renick was with through Bunky Cushing.
Oh, sure,
the late Bunky Cushing, great friend.
Bon
vivant. There were a lot of people who were applying for it, and I knew from the very start that. First of all, the age of gossip itself is really over. There is nothing.
Well, because of this, I'm holding up a phone.
Well, and also because our perspectives of the world has changed. I say there's still only two things that are gossipy that'll get people to read the gossip, and the first is young, successful attorneys, men, who buy sports cars for. Busboys in fancy restaurants.
And why did they do that?
Because they're fooling around with them.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Why don't they just take them out of the busboy job?
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. That's a gossipy thing that you can still get a little mileage out of. And the other are the perhaps the wives of successful big shots in town who like to take the guys from the garage with them to Florida.
Interesting.
Now, people will read that. Anything else, nobody cares who's married to who, who's divorced, who's fooling around with anybody. Nobody cares.
They just care about busboys and waiters.
But they do care. In Chicago, you do have, and it's important to fall back on, and that is our political observations.
Uh-huh.
That is, more than any other city in America, the Chicago perspective of political life, for good or for bad.
But the reason I like the column is that it does not start off with bold-faced names. You usually devote it to a serious topic.
There's two sections. The first is a narrative, usually based on some political thing.
Yeah, something that's
And then
happening.
It could also be about how to make better scrambled eggs.
Exactly.
So it goes back and forth. And then the rest of it, usually that's about 1,000 words. And then the other 1,000 is who's where, what's going on.
Exactly.
Stuff that you hear.
And photographs,
yes.
too.
Oh, great photographs.
You work hard doing that.
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
And you admire, Candace does, too.
Oh, yeah.
The Chicago Star.
Yes. I really do rely on Candace so much as sort of a colleague who kind of like helps absorb all the
sure.
She's a hard worker.
Yeah, you guys are
and
friends.
A good soul. So
you look at I'm.
But you know the column is in the Skyline, the Booster, and the Star, so it's in three of the papers.
Three of these inside publications.
And there are 60,000 readers.
That's pretty good. Well, you've also got my old colleague Don DeBatt writes real estate stuff.
Yes,
for
yes, yes.
He writes about real estate and 16-inch softball. That's what he writes about.
That's true. And I hear from lots of people.
Question.
And I hear from Native American peoples in Uptown, and I hear from socialites in the Gold Coast. There's all sorts of people.
Well, it's the pulse of the city.
Yeah.
And unless someone wants to spend 18 hours a day looking at their phone, this you distill it for people. You distill it. It's not a bunch of junk on Twitter. You like his column, don't you, Neil?
Absolutely. I like his criminal listings.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. That you must have heard, gentlemen, from people who have read and dipped into your book, Memories of Growing Up in Chicago, Recalling Life During the 20th Century, how much people like it and things they didn't know. They didn't know.
And favorite interviews.
Yeah.
You know, I find one of my jobs at City Hall, working with Ed Burke, was really over 20 years, gathering a billion facts about Chicago, its history, clarifying mistakes. And what I'm finding now is when I'm in an Uber with a person from another country driving through the streets, and I'm telling them where to go, and they don't want to go that way because they don't know it. And the other day, on the way out to Lula's Cafe in Logan Square, my driver was so fascinated. We spent about 10 minutes in front of the place because I was describing for him the sort of ethnic movements through the city and what that meant and why. And there's a lot to
There's a real curiosity about, you know, as beleaguered as Chicago can seem these days with, you know, you walk down Michigan Avenue and you see a block of empty storage. You're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
But there's a real, and I think you can learn something from the history of.
I think all you got to do is look out there. We're looking out the river now.
Yeah.
Right out there. You know, Native peoples always believed, and it was true.
Yeah.
All the waterways of America flow through that spot right there.
That's right.
Every waterway.
You will find stories not only like that, but you will find rich details about a Chicago that is, sadly, it's vanished. It's gone. And the Chicago that is captured in this book no longer exists. But you can see, I'm looking now at a picture on page 255 of Tim Reed and Tom Dreesen. They'll be talking at the Newberry Library later this month. We got to take one more break, and then I will finish off with these two guys. You can get this book by just go to Amazon and type in Memories of Growing Up in Chicago, and it will allow you to purchase this book. It's a lot of pictures, too. Where'd you get all these pictures? People who were interviewed gave you some of them mostly?
Well, no, over the years, is collecting them and all.
Yeah.
A lot from the Chicago History Museum, a lot from the Sun-Times, a combination.
Good, because, there's some cool ones. Very cool. I look at the picture on the front of the State Lake Theater and go, wow, there used to be a State Lake Theater. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with Tom O'Gorman and Neil Sammers talking about their terrific book, Memories of Growing Up in Chicago, which you can order. Just go to Amazon and type in Memories of Growing Up Chicago. If you need the author's names, it's O'Gorman, O'Gorman, and Neil Sammers, NEALSAMORS. Neil, I forgot to mention, you have you had as a young man one of those jobs that no longer exists and will never, ever, ever exist again.
Elevator operator.
Yes, you were an elevator operator.
Five summers.
Really?
Wow.
5 summers. And
how did you get the job? You went to the union, right?
No, well, my father, who was in the junk business, one of his clients was the Garment Center building at Van Buren and Franklin.
Oh.
And when I graduated high school, they said, yeah, we'd like to have a summer replacement. So Neil, come down and first go to the union and pay your fee and then come on over here. And I was summer replacement for 5 summers. And my favorite building was the 100 North LaSalle building across from City Hall.
Wow.
Where I got to meet many of the Damon Runyon characters.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Who would get in the elevator and talk about how they're going across the street to see the mayor and see about getting jobs.
Oh, my.
Wow. Yeah, I had a friend, who was an elevator operator in the Wrigley building, and it was his favorite job.
Wow.
There are a lot of things in this book that have indeed vanished, a lot of places, a lot of people, but that, nevertheless, it is a rich tapestry.
But, you know, I'm a great critic of Chicago government at the moment, but I really believe...
Who isn't?
But I really believe that the real roots that made this happen like this, life happen like this, are still with us, and they will be revived, and they will help restore this urban community's sense of value and self-worth. I really believe that.
Well, that's a wonderfully optimistic.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yeah, I really do, and I see it because you see the you see the generosity and the kindness of regular people in town, yeah. you know, and yeah. that's important. That's what matters.
You agree, Neil?
Absolutely.
Of course you do. Of course you do.
I'm a lifelong Chicago resident, so
yeah.
All three of us are, I think.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, yeah. And what do you think? That's an interesting thing you bring up, Tom O'Gorman. What is it? Is there some secret to what a Chicagoan is, what a Chicagoan wants?
I think there is. I really believe that. And part of it is that this was always a city for second sons. If you were, Potter Palmer was not the inheritor of his family's wealth by any means.
Yeah,
he made his own.
Marshall Field.
Yes, all of them. They were the family losers, and they came to Chicago, and suddenly this enterprise blew up around them, and they were successful at it.
Let me just make one comment about someone in the book. Her name was Jo Baskin Minow.
Sure. Oh, my God.
No, what's her middle name? Matt Baskin? Ah, yes, because her father was asked if they could use his name by Hart, Schaffner, and Marx
yes.
for the Baskin stores.
Of course. Yeah.
So there are a lot of ties here.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think that they are so much a part of being human that, you know, it's like stuff being damaged by the Depression or COVID or by
World War. This city has bounced back from a lot of troubles.
It will bounce back. And I think I've thought a lot about recently of Mayor Daley, the original Mayor Daley, and his perspective on Chicago, what he thought Chicago could be. And I think it was true at the time in the 50s.
Mm.
His being mayor was an accident. I mean,
yeah,
he wasn't supposed to run. Clarence Wagner was, yep. and he was killed in an auto accident in Wisconsin. So my point being that there's a lot that we don't have control over, and that I also trust that.
Well, I mean, from your lips to City Hall, man. I mean, you know that. You know, these are, as you well know, gentlemen. These are very precarious,
yes, they are.
And disturbing times. I know people who will not go out after dark.
Oh, absolutely.
In Chicago,
right? Yeah.
It hurts me because I still think there is enough in this city to reward anybody
yes.
who goes out.
Absolutely, yes.
Go out early in the morning and watch the sunrise over Lake Michigan. I don't think that many people are doing it these days.
No,
And I'm, but you can in a way, kind of relive some of the best, most. There's an innocence to this book, don't you both think?
Oh, yeah.
Memories
Absolutely.
Of growing up in Chicago, recalling. You might even say recalling life during the 20th century, life as it will never be again. But I think there are lessons in here. And I'm not saying when you buy the book, and again, you can just go to Amazon, you don't have to read it from first page to last. You can go in and dip in almost anywhere. And, you know, you can dip in on page 139, you'll find a picture of Maxwell's, the old Maxwell Street Market, and learn about that. And there's a lot to learn from this book, too. Do you think have you given any lectures or talks about the book?
Some, but I have one coming up for a synagogue up in Winnetka in June to a couple of Jewish organizations, and there's going to be an article in JUF News about this whole thing because they're very fascinated by this kind of topic. And by the way, I should mention Chris Lynch, who's the third author here.
Sure.
Chris wrote the section about the 70s, 80s, and 90s.
Yeah.
And so he has some fascinating topics, including the fact that people don't remember that you used to be able to go smoke on an airplane.
Oh, sure.
And sit there and smoke.
Sure.
Or people who didn't wear seatbelts.
Yeah.
Or people who would go make phone calls by stopping at a phone booth on the road. You know, you'd walk up to the phone booth and dial up, make your calls.
Yeah.
So things changed.
Yeah. Well, fondly remember my mother smoking cigarettes in the front seat of the car.
Yes, of course.
Right.
My brother would threaten to jump out the window. Never did. But, times do change. Sometimes for the worse and sometimes for the better. And I always found life to be a wonderful kind of juggling act. Don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Don't you think? What's your next book, Neil Sammers?
Well, since I have all these other interviews, maybe a second version of this book.
That's nice, because the reception for this book must be great.
And I had to cut down some of Tom's writing for this book. Tom was going to be the full length of the book talking about Ireland.
And that could be his next book. That's right. Memories of Ireland.
My next book is a cookery book.
It is?
It's almost done. And the editor is Sugar Outboard.
Oh, wow. Wow. You are connected, my friend. You can read Tom O'Gorman every week in the Inside Publications newspaper, which goes to is in Skyline. What are the other editions?
Star and Booster.
You can read the great Candace Jordan in Chicago Star. She is a friend of the show, as they say in the business. Gentlemen, it's great to see you guys.
Thank you so much, Rick.
I'm glad the show's back on full strength, and you could come in and
thank you.
And talk about this great book. Get home safe.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
No more road rage for you, Neil Sammers.
Oh, yeah? Who's going to tell them that?
But, yeah, that you got a point there. Here, if you're listening in your car, what kind of car do you have? Don't say it. leave Neil Sammers alone when he's on the road.
Yeah, calm down.
I will see you. We got a full show next week. I have no idea who the guest will be, but I'll bring somebody on. Brett Jackson and Krista Flores, thank you for running this smooth 2-hour-long machine. Take care, everybody.